Imagine being invited to the table of a king and to eat what the king ate and drink what the king drank. And then you say, no, thank you. It would probably take a little courage, especially if you're a captive in a foreign land and your neck could be on the line. We have been looking only just for a few weeks now at the life of Daniel. Daniel was one of those who fell under the sad words, conquered. Conquered. But then Daniel also later fell under the words, or the word, chosen. Now, I'm not sure he would have volunteered for this job, but he was chosen. Chosen to become, after a 3-year period of training and a 3-year period of preparation, to become part of the king's council. He was chosen. But having been conquered and now in a foreign land and having been chosen, he now has a great problem. He is asked to do something that's contrary to his convictions. Contrary to his convictions. Do you know, there are a lot of people today who might live by preference, but oftentimes they misapply preference for conviction. Conviction is really something you'd be willing to die for. Convictions are very important. Convictions can mold a person's life. And last time, a couple of weeks ago, when we were together, we started a message on Daniel's convictions. Let's read about that in verse 8. Daniel 1:8. But Daniel, it's an important word, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Being chosen for this special training and this special position of serving in Nebuchadnezzar's court presented Daniel with this problem. This problem, according to a man named Larkin, Larkin wrote, and I have several of his books, one by on Daniel, one on Revelation. I have some big charts that Larkin produced for study of prophecy. But Larkin said, this problem was a pivotal crisis in the life of Daniel, which he safely passed. Otherwise, we would probably never have heard of him again. This was a pivotal crisis in Daniel's life, where he had to either go along with the crowd or stand up for his convictions. And we've all heard it's easy for a fish to float downstream. It's not easy to fight the current and swim upstream. And a person of conviction will fight the current. This isn't really part of my message, but you know my theory about the broad way and the narrow way. The Bible talks about there's a broad way that with a wide gate that leads to destruction, and there's a narrow gate and a narrow way that leads to life everlasting. And sometimes people get the impression that they're two separate paths, a broad way going in this direction, and then there's a narrow path alongside of it, and it goes in the other direction. And that's possible. This is just my theory. But somehow when you get saved, you jump from the broad way over to the narrow way and start heading in the other direction. But my theory is that the broad way has right in the middle of it the narrow way. And all you do when you get saved is turn around and start walking in the other direction. And there will be there those that you bump into that will want to take you back down the broad way with them. And it takes real courage, real conviction to walk on the narrow way. Well, we see Daniel being a man of conviction. And how did he get these convictions? We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but how did he reach these convictions? Well, he based his convictions on the Word of God. As a younger person, he was exposed to the Word of God. And he was exposed to the commandments that God had given the Jewish nation regarding their food and their drink and what they could and could not eat. Daniel's decision resulted from the knowledge he possessed of the Holy Scriptures. And so that's where he got his convictions. And nothing will give you such good and strong convictions as the Word of God. Quote for me someone Psalm 119:11. I'll help you start. Thy word have I, that I might not sin against thee. So Daniel had hidden God's word in his heart, and when it came time to have certain things put before him, because he knew what he could not and should not eat, he didn't do it. And it was based on the Word of God. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way, Psalm 119:104. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the rareness of Daniel's possessing these convictions. In this verse, how many people are involved in these convictions? Only one at the start, right? Daniel. Now later we understand that because he was willing to stand alone, his three friends also stood with him. But Daniel at the beginning, we believe, was standing alone. And many times those who truly possess good and strong convictions will stand alone if necessary for God. Daniel certainly was willing to do so. But we also were thinking about where these convictions had to be manifest. Remember where Daniel was, and where did he start with these convictions? Well, it says he purposed where? In his heart. You know, that's where convictions really start, in your heart. It's not just in your head. It's not just in your talk. It's in your walk. And it starts when you have made decisions in your heart that you will not do certain things. Now, I certainly would not try to set myself up as a perfect example of one who's always lived his life by conviction. But I remember when I was in high school, we had several groups in high school, even, yes, way back then, young people, we still had different groups in high school. And they actually allowed smoking in the high school when I was a student. They did. They allowed that inside the high school, and you could get your locker down toward the smoker's end of the hall. And so if you were a smoker, you could get assigned a locker down at the end of the hallway where the smokers smoked. And I was the president of our Bible club that we had. Every Wednesday at noon, our Bible club would meet in the band room, and we had permission to use the band room, and we had a Bible club meeting there. So I had it was already aware of the whole student body that Dean Walter was a believer and that he had some convictions. And I remember when I was in the ninth grade, and I'm just giving you an example. I was in the ninth grade, and I was in FFA. Anybody know what FFA is? Future Farmers of America. Yep. I was in a rural community, and I was in FFA. And I was on a parliamentary procedure demonstration team. And we would go to the local area and compete with parliamentary procedure. Then we'd go to the district, and then we'd go to regional, and then we'd go to state. And our team happened to get first place in all those, so we got to go to state competition. And I'll never forget this. We were walking down the street in Lansing, Michigan, away from everyone. We had just competed, finished our competition. We were walking down the street, and a couple guys pulled out packs of cigarettes and started to pass them around to everybody in the group. And again, I'm not saying this in a proud way. I'm just saying that God gave me the grace to say no. And I was the only one that day that didn't have a cigarette. Sometimes you have to stand alone. And Daniel was that kind of man. He was willing to stand alone when necessary. And so the place of his convictions was in his heart. And we looked a couple weeks ago as to what his age might be. Most commentaries believe that he was still a teenager at this time. He was a very young man. It was wonderful to see a young man like Daniel take a stand for God. And we looked at the area where he took this stand. He was away from home, on foreign soil, in a lush, lavish palace setting, being offered food that he had never tasted before and drink that he had never tasted before. Oh, the temptations that probably were there. But we have particulars, and we are given those particulars. You know why? What his convictions basically were, what was one of the particulars? Number one, he would not defile himself. He said, I'm not going to defile myself. This phrase is used twice in that verse. Would not defile himself. At the end of the verse, he might not defile himself. Daniel had, his convictions had to do with his own personal purity and his own personal holiness. He would not defile himself. It didn't matter what was popular. He wanted to be pure. He wanted to be godly. He wanted to be righteous. But the particulars had to do with food and drink. And his convictions had to do with a holy diet. And Scripture did prescribe exactly what he could not eat. And he was willing to abide by the word of God and not eat what was forbidden. But there was an earnestness to his convictions. What's the word there? He purposed in his heart that he would not. That's earnest. I am not going to do it. I don't care what you do to me. I'm not going to defile myself. He had an earnestness to his convictions. He didn't care what direction the crowd was going. He would not defile himself. And his abstinence here, for that's indeed what he was practicing, some abstinence here, had to do with not even partaking of the king's food and not partaking of even a little of the king's food, not any of the king's food. Sometimes we think, well, just a little bit wouldn't hurt. You know, just a little bit might not hurt, but he was not willing to partake of even a little bit. But you know what? Daniel just quietly purposed in his heart. No. He had to speak forth his convictions. And because of that, it says, therefore, because he had these convictions, therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. It's always necessary in life to make your convictions known. It's not just enough to have personal convictions, but the time's going to come when you have to stand by and for your personal convictions. And as he proclaimed his personal convictions here, he did so in a very courteous way. It says he requested. This shows courtesy. This shows respect. This manner of approach to the problem. And, you know, that just reminds us that when we take a stand for Christ, we can do so graciously and kindly. We don't have to be real obstinate and cantankerous and ill-mannered. We can maintain our convictions with respect and courtesy as well. But this took great courage, didn't it? When he spoke forth his convictions, that took great courage. Remember where he is in a foreign land. Remember what he is, a captive. Remember that he has been chosen specially. How easy do you think it would be to get out of that group? Well, probably pretty easy if you just say no. And then you're out of the group. You're probably out of your life too, but you're out of the group. It probably wouldn't have been too hard to get out of the group, but it would be hard to stay in the group and maintain your convictions. And so it took great courage to see him take this stand. And certainly it takes great courage today to have us be able to maintain our convictions in a day and an age when it's not the popular thing to make waves or make ripples or go against the crowd. Now, we notice that once he was willing to proclaim his convictions, guess what his willingness did? It had an effect on others. And it's only after this that we find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego joining in to this same situation and this same eventually test. And we're going to look at that next Sunday. But because Daniel was faithful and courageous, he had an influence on others. And certainly this whole lifestyle of Daniel is a wonderful picture to us of temptation and how to deal with temptation. What was the timing of this temptation? Well, when Daniel is alone, when he's probably sad from being taken from family, he's lonely, he's afraid. All of these things are going on in his life, and then he has this temptation come his way. Do you know that usually Satan will attack us with temptation when we are at the lowest part of our lives, maybe a particular sorrow going on, or a particular problem going on, or a particular health issue going on? Be aware that that's when Satan's going to attempt to attack. And then, not only the timing here, but temptation always has certain promises that go along with it. Can you imagine here the honor that would supposedly be there if you could eat what the king is eating and drink what the king is drinking? Man, what an honor. What a wow. And it promises this tremendous opportunity, a lowly captive now going to be in the king's court. Temptation always promises some kind of promotion or you're going to get ahead. But then there's the passion. And here's where it comes into the appeal to the flesh. Especially a captive. Captives don't get good food and good drink. And so now there's this temptation that appeals to the flesh. And so Daniel had to say no to promotion. Daniel had to say no to this, to the flesh. And Daniel, as we've already mentioned, was not in a large crowd in his convictions. Temptation always appeals to popularity. You can be in if you do this. And then there's oftentimes the power of temptation. What was the power behind this temptation? The most powerful king in the world at that time was the one who was offering this food and drink. But Daniel overcame this temptation because he was a man of conviction. And here's some things that were true in Daniel's life. First, he was firm. He would not. You know what we all need to do? Get some biblical convictions based upon the Word of God and determine that no matter what happens, we're not going to give in. And then he was faithful. He was firm and he was faithful. He was not going to waver. Notice what happens, even though we have verse 9 here. I think verse 9, we can't use that and excuse Daniel and say, well, Daniel really didn't do anything because God had already brought Daniel into favor with the prince of the eunuchs. No, Daniel still had to take his, we still have to honor Daniel for his firm convictions, but God was willing to bless Daniel as he took his stand and gave him favor. But then notice when he finally asked and requested not to have to defile himself, a little pressure was put on there. What was the pressure that was put on in verse 10? And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear the Lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye meet me endanger my head to the king. So here's the little bit of personal pressure put on. If you refuse, the prince of the eunuchs says, what's going to happen to me? But Daniel was still faithful in his convictions. And we've already looked at, he was fearless in his convictions. Even if it meant death. He was fearless. So when it comes to you and I taking a stand with our personal convictions for Christ tonight, let's be firm, let's be faithful, and let's be fearless. And God will bless us and give us favor when we're willing to take our stand for Christ. Another personal illustration as I close tonight. One year while I was in Bible college, I worked for the city of Owosso, Michigan on a tree trimming crew. Great job. I ran the chipper. Anybody know what a chipper is? That's where you throw the branches and things in and it just shreds it to pieces. I lost several hats that year. Not because I was careless, but because somebody trying to pull a prank on me would grab my hat and throw it into the chipper while I wasn't looking, and my hat got shredded a few times. But on that crew, I was known as the preacher because everybody on the crew knew that I was going to Bible college to be a preacher. So I was called the preacher. And I drove a great big huge dump truck to every site. And every time I would get in the truck, there would be some Playboy magazines laying on the seat. And I would throw them under the seat. The next time I got ready to drive the truck, there were the Playboy magazines laying on the seat again. I don't know how many times I had to get rid of those Playboy magazines. There were other times when I was the object of some ridicule. But one day, my boss was cutting down a tree, and there was a Michigan front-end loader that was hooked to the tree with a bull rope, and we were trying to pull the tree a certain place and make it fall just in an empty lot. The problem was, this was two trees that were growing so close together they looked like one, and we only had the rope in one tree. When he cut it off, the other tree fell the other way. Fell right toward him. And I'm the one who grabbed the boss and pulled him out of the way so he didn't get crushed by the tree. The chainsaw that he was using got crushed, piece just shattered. And it fell on a house that the city eventually had to pay for. But you know what happened that day? When I helped the boss keep from getting injured or possibly killed that day, from that day on, the boss told everybody to leave me alone. Said, don't mess with Dean. I never saw those Playboy magazines again. Again, I'm not trying to put myself up as a perfect example, but if you are willing to take your stand, God will bless. And I challenge myself, as well as all of us, to have convictions like Daniel, based on the Word of God, and be firm and faithful and fearless. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful. We're going to see the outcome of this request of Daniel's next week. We're going to see how God worked through that problem for Daniel, and we're going to see how he blessed. And Father, we're going to again apply these truths to our lives and help us, even when placed in a difficult situation or perhaps away from all other believers, when we're on our own, help us to stand firm for you. Make us men and women and young people of conviction tonight based on your word. We know that you will be honored, and you'll bless our stand. You may not always deliver us fully from that, but you will still bless our stand and help us to be people of the book and people of conviction tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.